Good morning. It is time to get up with the NFL's best. Which is the most talented team in the league? The answer might surprise you. The debate will no doubt be fun. And where do the Cowboys belong on the list? With this trio at the top, is it finally the year that Dallas breaks through? Plus, I will tell you in no uncertain terms why this man has more at stake than any other athlete in America over the next 3 months. All that and more as we get up with you, starting right now on a Thursday from Bristol, Connecticut. Mike Greenberg here, delighted you've chosen to get up with us. We welcome all of you who've been watching Korean baseball. We'll be with you for 2 hours or thereabouts, and then First Take will come your way in its entirety. And it is a busy morning, so let's get up and go. And it starts with this news from just the last little while. The Pro Football Hall of Fame game between the Cowboys and Steelers is being canceled. That, according to our Adam Schefter, the game was scheduled for August 6th. It will be the first NFL event canceled by the coronavirus pandemic. Elsewhere, Brooks Koepka withdrew from the Travelers Championship yesterday out of an abundance of caution after his caddy tested positive for COVID. Koepka, one of five golfers to withdraw from the tournament, which starts today, causing the PGA Tour to enact stricter protocols, but they are playing. Rockies all-star outfielder Charlie Blackmon has tested positive for the coronavirus, becoming the first major league player known to have tested positive. He was one of three Colorado players to test positive last week after workouts at Coors Field. And the New York City Marathon was canceled yesterday due to the pandemic. The event had been scheduled to be held on November 1st. A world record 53,640 runners competed and completed last year's race. To the NBA, where Pacers guard Malcolm Brogdon announced yesterday he has tested positive for the coronavirus, saying he's feeling well and is still planning on joining his teammates in Orlando for the NBA restart. And that is where we begin our show this morning with Jackie Mack, who is with us here. Great to see you, Jackie. I mean, I sort of looked at yesterday, the day, the deadline by which all these players would have to announce if they were going to skip the restart. And when you take everything into account, going through all that we've seen over the last several months and the build-up to this the last few weeks, when you look at how few players have thus far said they're not going to go, it seems to me, if you're the NBA, you feel this has gone extremely well. What do you think?
Well, Greeny, I would agree with that part of it. There were less players than I anticipated deciding to opt out. But here's the flip side of it. So you mentioned that Malcolm Brogdon announced yesterday he tested positive for the coronavirus. I don't know how many players officially announced they've test positive since this new testing began, but whatever the number is, Greeny, you need to multiply it by 2 or 5 or maybe even 10, because I think there are players testing positive all over the league as we start this new testing and just aren't revealing it to us. So that's just another new problem for the NBA, because this, as you know, this situation continues to be fluid because this virus continues to be fluid.
Realistically, that's, of course, 100% right, and will continue to be on into the future, well beyond, right. I would imagine. Every assumption is that this will go on well beyond when the NBA Finals are scheduled to end. So it's something they'll have to just continue to deal with as they go forward. But I keep thinking of something that Brian Windhorst told us earlier this week, that the NBA's plan at this point is, quote, too big to fail. What do you think of that?
Well, I agree with Brian, because I think what the NBA has done is taking every possible precaution. However, it's still such an unknown, Greeny. What if, and I don't want to jinx any superstar player, what if two of the top five players in the league end up testing positive in the conference finals and can't play in the finals? Will we then consider that a success? So that's a doomsday scenario for sure. But I am cautious because of the fluidity of this virus and how much we don't know about it. And I do think the NBA has done everything they can to make this bubble as safe as possible. But even the NBA and Michelle Roberts and everyone else has acknowledged there's no such thing as zero risk. And nobody is immune to this disease if you are exposed to it. Nobody.
Correct. Of course. And so this is another example of this phrase that I've adopted, which is, in a pandemic, there are always more questions than there are answers. You just have to do the best you can. And so at least to this point, it feels like it's worked out, I think, as well as they could have hoped. Now, let me get you to Milwaukee here. Giannis Antetokounmpo and the Bucks had the best record in the sport when the league went on pause, and they are still the favorites to come out of the Eastern Conference when play resumes. But the break might have come at exactly the right time for Milwaukee. You may recall Giannis injured his knee against the Lakers back on March 6th, just a few days before the league shut down. And the coach, Mike Budenholzer, thinks the time off might be a great thing. He said, quote, it's a huge advantage for us that Giannis will be completely and totally healthy. He went on to say, who's to say how things would have gone if we kept on playing? I'm not sure it would be safe to say he would have missed a couple of weeks. Could it have been less? Maybe. Could it have been more? Perhaps. We can look back a bit and say, wow, I wonder what would have happened there. And so, Jackie, you interviewed the coach for that article on ESPN.com. What do you think of what he's saying there? This might have been a blessing. Well, I don't want to put it that way. This might wind up working out quite well for the Bucks.
I thought it was actually an interesting response, Greeny. And the question I had asked him was, did he feel disappointed because the Bucks had done such a great job of managing their core players' minutes? Think about this. They had no player on their team averaging more than 31 minutes a game. And that includes Giannis, who could be the MVP and the Defensive Player of the Year, compared to guys like James Harden, who are playing nearly 37 minutes. And that's when Bud gave me the quotes that you referenced. And I think he's right. I think what he was worried about, which is what all coaches are worried about with elite players, when they're injured, they want to come back. And Bud's concern was, because he knows Giannis, he would have tried to come back too soon before he was fully healed, and then it becomes a nagging thing all the way through. That problem now is eliminated because Giannis, like everybody else, has had time to rest and recover.
So a two-part question for those who've not followed your conversations all over the place. Were the Bucks your favorites when everything stopped down, and how has that been impacted by all of this?
So the Bucks were my favorites because of, for many reasons, starting and ending mostly with Giannis. But I will say that I think some of the advantages they had, Greeny, before this happened, have dissipated for some of the reasons I just said. The Lakers, to me, because of LeBron, because he's rested, because he's motivated, and because he has Anthony Davis by his side, to me now feel a little more like the favorites. Is that fair? I'm not sure it is. And hopefully Giannis and Bud and all the Bucks will have something to say about it and prove me wrong.
I'm going to get to some NFL stuff here in a minute, but I have a few more for you, Jackie, because I have been trying to figure out what I think or which teams, which styles of teams might benefit the most from the time off. And I'm looking at the depth factor in all of this, and I'm looking at Boston in the Eastern Conference. I put the stats down on paper the other day. They have eight guys, I think, who play double-digit minutes. They have three guys who average over 20 points a game. It feels to me like the Celtics are a team that, in this compressed format, might be very dangerous to Milwaukee in the East. What do you think?
Well, they certainly were going strong again when the pandemic hit. Jason Tatum was on a tear, and he was starting to look like that top five player that so many of us forecasted he could be in the future. My only concern with Boston, and it's been true now for almost 2 years, is when they are good, they are very good. You can count on them. You can book it. They're going to be one of the top defensive teams and give other teams problems with their defensive schemes. The problem is on the other side of the ball, Greeny. When they go hot and cold, they live and die by the three. And sometimes when they go cold, they go really, really cold. So I think they're just maybe one knock down, you know, for, hey, we'd all love Ray Allen or that kind of shooter, J.J. Redick, someone like that, from being a team that I could guarantee you was going to get to the finals because they have these lapses offensively that really hurt them.
All right, Jackie, stay close. A little later in the program, we're going to talk about LeBron James and what he may or may not have at stake as we pick this thing up over the next few months, and we'll talk more about it then. Thanks so much for getting up early with us this morning. Meanwhile, I turn my attention to the National Football League, where ESPN.com ranked all 32 NFL rosters using the Pro Football Focus database, and Lamar Jackson and the Ravens came in at number one, owning the most efficient offense according to expected points added per play, while running the ball at a higher rate than any other team. Rounding out the top five are the two teams that squared off in last season's Super Bowl. As you take a look at this here, you got the Ravens and the Saints, the Niners, the Chiefs, the Buccaneers sitting in there with that 43-year-old quarterback, Tom Brady. Cowboys check in at number six, three spots ahead of Philadelphia, which won the NFC East a year ago. So let's have a little fun with this as we bring in Dominique Foxworth and Jeff Saturday this morning here. So if I were to ask you, I'll start with you, Dominique, which team has the best roster in the NFL? Where are you going to go?
I think they got it right with the Ravens. I think you could point to maybe the interior of the offensive line and the wide receivers as weak spots. But other than that, they are loaded and they're deep at a lot of positions. You know how I feel about secondary play. They have probably one of the best secondaries in football, and they have backups that can come in and play admirably. They got Heisman Trophy winner backup at quarterback. They got a Heisman Trophy winning running back. And this team is just loaded. They put Calais Campbell on that team. Calais Campbell is getting up there in age, but he is still a game wrecker. And that's not to even mention that they got the best kicker in football. And I know it doesn't sound like much, but it means a lot. At the end of late games, you have the best kicker in football and maybe the best kicker that we've ever seen in professional football. This roster is without any major holes.
That's extraordinarily well-researched. If we're getting to the kicker, then I'm delighted that we started with you. Saturday, agree or disagree, Ravens number one?
I disagree. I love that we're talking about kickers. You know why we don't need a kicker? Because we got Patrick Mahomes on the Kansas City Chiefs. That's going to be the best roster. Why? My man Himbo gave me a little stat. I don't have all the stats like Fox has, but when he's on the field, they average 6.6 yards per play. 6.6 per play. So with Patrick Mahomes, Hill, Kelsey, that offense, it overcomes all roster deficiencies because of what he can do. They're 12-4, Nick. They're 12-4 when he gets banged up. Heaven forbid if that man stayed fresh all season last year. This guy, he is a difference maker. He completes a roster because of what he's been able to do his last couple years.
You're not going to get any argument from me about how great Patrick Mahomes is, but it feels like you didn't understand the question. Like, the question is the best roster, and you gave me one name. Patrick Mahomes is an A-plus quarterback. You know who else is an A-plus quarterback? Lamar Jackson. But Patrick Mahomes, the rest of his team is a lot of talented players, but they do have holes, particularly on defense. It's hard for me to imagine they have the best roster in football. They have a very good roster. They're probably the favorites to win the Super Bowl. I thought they would last year, and they might again this year. But if you're going a complete roster, you're looking at for a GM who has built out a roster that has the fewest holes. I could understand maybe you saying the Saints, but skipping over the Saints and disregarding the Ravens to me doesn't make any sense.
I think I've got
no, listen.
Go ahead, Jeff.
No, I'm sorry. Yeah, listen, when you're talking about a roster, I understand what we're talking about. They have a good offensive line. They just added a running back that's going to be lethal for this offense with Andy Reid. Their defense may have some issues, but ultimately we're talking about rosters win games, right? Rosters win games. That's why we put rosters together. So if we're talking about the best roster, who's going to win the most games? Who's going to win the most important game? When we have a quarterback that gets us 6.6 yards a carry, I'm saying it covers the blemishes on defense of what you're talking about. I understand if you go position by position, but if we're building rosters to win games, what's my best roster? It's the best team. And right now, the best team has got to be the Kansas City Chiefs until we see otherwise. That's why I went that direction.
I respect it. Don't let this man change the question, Greeny.
Nick, no. I'll go the other way from you. I respect it. Always change the question to suit your narrative. I think it's brilliantly played by Saturday. He's basically saying Patrick Mahomes is the best roster in the NFL. And who are we to argue? Tim Hasselbeck is here. Tim, you've been listening to the conversation here so far. Who gets your vote? Which team has the best players?
Well, there's a couple things that are predictable. Of course, Jeff is going to say that because his career was playing on a team where the quarterback was the team. That's why Jeff is going that direction. Let's just be honest. The Colts never had the best roster, right? They had the best quarterback. That's why Jeff is going that direction. Look, Neek kind of gave a little tip of the cap to the New Orleans Saints. And for me, that is the team. They have an A-plus quarterback, as the guys have been talking about. They are good at every single level on both sides of the ball. They have a quarterback. They have the wide receiver. They have two really good tackles. They have a running back that's outstanding. Jared Cook's a legitimate tight end. You flip to the defensive side of the ball. Difference makers at the edge position in Cam Jordan and Marcus Davenport. DeMario Davis at the linebacker level, one of the best in the game. And you get into the secondary, and now you pair Malcolm Jenkins with Marcus Williams, who's a good young safety. You also have Marshawn Lattimore at corner. So, like, to me, I look at that football team. And by the way, I'm ripping off this list of really good players at every level. And, they probably have the best kind of utility player in Taysom Hill, a guy that forces every single team to game plan for. So I look at the Saints, top to bottom, everywhere you look, they are loaded.
Not only that, they have the only backup quarterback in the NFL who threw for 5,000 yards in a season. So that's a pretty remarkable one as well. Okay, so we got three different teams, we've got three different picks, and I'm not going to argue with any of them. I am instead going to bring up a different question. Because we all understand that the Ravens rise and fall with their quarterback, as so many other teams do. Yesterday, Dan Orlovsky was here, and I asked him, in what areas can he see Lamar Jackson improve? And the reason for this was because his own offensive coordinator, Greg Roman, had said, I can see Lamar improving greatly as he goes forward. So I asked Orlovsky, in what way can he improve? This is what Dan said.
The hits. And for everybody who wants to talk to me about, well, Lamar avoids hits better than anybody ever. Yeah, that's true. But last year, including the playoffs, Lamar Jackson took 205 hits. Okay, since that number started getting registered in 2006, that's the most a quarterback's ever taken. So that's a very real thing. The more hits Lamar can avoid, the better for him in that organization.
Dominique, that was your pick. How much of a concern in your mind are all of the hits that Lamar Jackson gets in a season?
I mean, it's a concern. Injury is always a concern for any quarterback. It's the most important player. But, I mean, football is risky. And I think Lamar absolutely has shown the ability. I think he was the third most efficient quarterback from the pocket last year. So he has the ability to throw from the pocket. And part of that is because of his threat to run and his threat to scramble. But what it boils down to me is, do you want to be great or not? Like, I'm not concerned about reducing his hits. I'm not concerned about reducing his running attempts, because when Lamar Jackson is allowed to be Lamar Jackson, you are the best team in football. That's what they were last year. So if you're looking at this as a head coach or a coordinator, the question is, do you want to win Super Bowls? Do you want to go to the Hall of Fame? Or do you want to wait around for Steve Bisciotti to come fire you? The answer is Super Bowls and Hall of Fame. So let Lamar do the things that he does well and build an offense around his running ability. If he gets hurt, you figure it out then. But I just don't necessarily believe in the idea that we need to start curtailing his running attempts and trying to slow down his ability to impact the game that the way that he does.
Tim, what do you think?
Yeah, I don't see it that way. It's been my number one concern with Lamar in terms of the sustainability of what the Ravens are doing. That's the key. You know, the question coming into last season was, can you do this for an entire season? Well, they proved that you can do it for an entire season. But can you do it for 5 years? Can you do it for 3 years? That ends up being the issue. Think about this. 205 hits, all right? Cam Newton, who everyone thinks gets hit way too much, has never been hit more than 184 times in a season. And look at the toll it's taken on his body. And he's a bigger, stronger man than Lamar Jackson. You take it a step further. Look at somebody like Deshaun Watson, again, who 2 years ago in 2018 got hit 175 times, 30 times less. And he was getting driven to away games because he couldn't fly because he had a collapsed lung. Okay, that's what we're talking about. Josh Allen, another guy that people say runs too much. Last year, 150 hits. 55 times Lamar Jackson has hit more than a guy like Josh Allen, another guy who's a bigger, stronger guy. So for me, yeah, it is a massive concern in terms of the sustainability of what they are doing.
Jeff?
Yeah, I'm not into the whole sustainability thing. And here's why. Carson Wentz got hurt. Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt. These are not guys that you think, hey, we're building our team around, run the football. You got to be the best at what you do. Lamar Jackson is best when he is a dual threat. This is what he's done his whole career. This is what this team is built around. You have to do it. When you're talking about a 5- and 10-year plan, that's a different conversation about, are we trying to win? Are we trying to win as a football team? And that's what you're trying to do if you're the Baltimore Ravens. Neek made the best point. Are you trying to win Super Bowls? Are you trying to get this thing done right now? Absolutely. When you talk about there is an inherent risk playing football. We protect quarterbacks more now than we ever have. And even to the Cam Newton argument that Tim just made, they have tried to reduce the hits because Cam Newton was taking hits. And we looked at him. He was being hit a lot more than other quarterbacks at the same time, even the Super Bowl year. So we are trying to limit the hits on quarterbacks to protect them anyway for the betterment of the game. So if you're going to be a running quarterback and a dual threat, now is the best time. Protect your body the best you can, but ultimately you can't change the player that you are.
All right, we have a ton of football conversation on the program today. We'll come back to this and do a whole lot more. I'll take my first break today, but we're just getting rolling on Get Up. As we continue, if he was starting a team with any player in NFL history, our buddy RC says he would already take Patrick Mahomes. Is he right? We'll talk about it next.
Geico gets you access to licensed agents 24/7, which means that Geico is always there for you. If only everyone was always there for you. Like your mom, when you fill out really, really important paperwork on the first day of a new job.
Name, check. Birthday, social security, is that a thing? Hey, mom, what is my social security number? Mom? Okay, let's guess. 0017. Oh, Gemini. Hashtag done.
Geico, always there for you with savings and 24/7 access to licensed agents.
And with that, we approach the top of the hour here. It's soon to be 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, about 10 seconds from now. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, Connecticut. It's a Thursday, and delighted that you are with us. We're here for the next 90 minutes when First Take comes your way, starting 10:30 this morning Eastern time for a full two-hour edition. Our NFL insider, Dan Graziano, joins us for the first time this morning. And, Dan, let's run the hurry up. The Hall of Fame game, Cowboys and Steelers, has been officially canceled. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Greeny, you had to see this one coming. Report dates for training camp are July 28th, about 5 weeks from today. If you're in the Hall of Fame game, as the Cowboys and Steelers were, you report 10 days earlier. Since they don't even have the training camp protocols finalized in terms of health and safety yet, it seemed likely for a while that this game would get canceled. Don't be surprised if more preseason games get canceled and the preseason gets shortened.
And then what's the latest with Jamal Adams and the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets are going to, at this point, they're waiting to see how far he's willing to take it. I think if he doesn't show up for training camp and he's willing to absorb the fines and risk losing an accrued season towards free agency, then the Jets will know that he's serious and maybe start to look at serious trade possibilities. But they don't want to trade him. They'd love to keep him around. At this point, it's about how little he wants to be there.
All right, we'll talk more about him as we go. But getting back to Patrick Mahomes, we've talked about him a lot already this morning, and his career has gotten off to about as good a start as any in the history of the sport. He's 24 years old. He won the MVP in 2018, was the Super Bowl MVP this past year, and that got our Ryan Clark thinking. I've told you a million times, RC is one of the best follows on Twitter, and last night he tweeted this: has Patrick Mahomes already done enough to be the number one overall draft pick in a redraft of every football player that has ever played the game? And if not him, then who? Leave it to RC to take my job and ask the really intriguing questions. So I put this group together here, and I'm going to put that same question to each of you. Neek, I will start with you. If you were going to start a team with any player in NFL history, who would it be?
Yeah, I think it's easy. Ryan's right. It's Patrick Mahomes. Like, Himbo, the research god, has sent me a bunch of stats that I could roll off my tongue right now, but it doesn't matter. You watch football, you see what this man is capable of, playing the most important position of any major team sports, the most impactful at least. He's the best we've seen do it, and you can't even say it's a fluke because he's done it 2 years in a row. And when he was healthy this past season, he was better than he was his MVP season. So I don't understand how you can make any argument other than going with Patrick Mahomes at this point, especially considering the fact that you already mentioned it. He's 24 years old. Like, technically, he could still be on his parents' insurance, and he's already had two better football seasons than almost any other quarterback that we've seen in the history of football. He could still get better.
Okay, you threw me with that. I liked it very much. So Neek is going Mahomes. Saturday, how about you?
I think Neek is a prisoner of the moment. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is excited. I just said it was the best roster. You argue because I don't even know what's going on in your head right now. But I'm going Lawrence Taylor. What happened to you? Where did defense ever happen to you? If you're going to stop the best quarterbacks, here's where you go get it. Start with a fellow Tar Heel, Lawrence Taylor. This man flat out got after him. I know he's a little old for you, Neek. I didn't watch much film on this guy, but he could totally change defense and offensive play. Not to mention, when we go to Mahomes, let's not forget that team offensively is loaded. Good offensive line, Andy Reid and calling plays. You have a ton of good quality players, Kelce, Watkins. You can keep going. Tyreek Hill. So there's so many guys around him. I'm saying if you're starting, I'm starting on defense, that player being Lawrence Taylor.
Neek, why were you raising
your hand? You're going to have a short-lived career as a GM of all-time football because that is the worst draft pick you could ever make. And the reason why we had the conversation earlier, you still don't understand the question. That was about rosters, not about one player. And Patrick Mahomes, it feels to me like you didn't watch the playoffs last year. In the playoffs last year against Houston, they had a 2% win probability in the second quarter. You know what they did? They won against the Titans. 20% in the second quarter. They won because Patrick Mahomes was making ridiculous passes across his body and no look. In the Super Bowl, in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl against the second best defense of all of football, they had a 4% win probability and Patrick Mahomes made it happen.
So let me ask you this, Neek. If Jimmy Garoppolo makes the throw in the Super Bowl, are you still having that conversation? Because you're talking about him coming back. If Garoppolo makes the play, They don't win the Super Bowl. Yeah, all of a sudden, the 49ers, and you're not going to say Patrick Mahomes. Right now, everybody's caught up.
That's where you're wrong.
But at the end of the day, if another quarterback makes the play when he should have made the play, this whole conversation is different. You were excited about TV and what we do with it today.
I'm not.
Nick, quick response. I got to get Graziano in here. All right. In fact, I'll leave it there because you guys, clearly you're on both opposite sides of this thing. Graziano, where do you go?
He's on the wrong side.
I need to know the rules. I need RC to come in and explain the rules. Like, are we talking just projection? Because obviously Mahomes. But if you're talking about guys whose careers have already happened, you don't have to project. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl at 24. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl at 24, and he also won it at 41 and four times in between. So, like, you look and say, like, you know what's going to happen there. If you draft Tom Brady at the beginning of his career, you know you're going to win six Super Bowls. You know, Patrick Mahomes, he could win six, he could win 10, he could never win one again. So we don't know. So I need to know what the rules are. Jeff Saturday named my favorite player of all time. It's either Lawrence Taylor or Barry Sanders. So it's hard for me to argue against him. But I have to say, it's going to have to be a quarterback if you make this draft. My question is, are we doing it based on what we think they're going to be, or when we look back, what we know that they were? And we just need RC to explain the rules of the game before we can really go much further,
yes,
I think.
Yes, because clarity is always so prevalent on Twitter. Okay, let me give you all my response. And it is, I'm ashamed of each and every one of you. I will start with you, Saturday. I mean, how much more intimate can you be with a person than you and Peyton Manning were on a football field that you are taking? You are not taking Peyton Manning, who it has all the things he accomplished, all the things he did, all the things he did for your franchise. I would have been sure you would take Peyton Manning. Dominique Foxworth, you played in the defensive secondary. How in the world you wouldn't take someone like Deion Sanders or even Darrell Revis or Dick Night Train Lane? I have no earthly idea. And then Graziano, you got the worst of them all because you took the wrong member of the best dynasty. The reality is, if you're starting a football program with any one person in history, you're starting it with the coach. The coach is the most important person in any football organization. He can take your players and beat his. He can take his players and beat yours. The answer is Bill Belichick. You would take Bill Belichick by a narrow margin over Vince Lombardi if you were starting a football team with any one person in history, and I will defend that to the death. Go.
Who wants to start?
Does Archie's tweet say person or player? Read it again.
What's that?
Does it say person or player?
No, we're not reading it. If you're going back to people who are not players, right, then Ozzie Newsome is the best GM in history. That's who you go with. But if you're talking about a player, bringing up Tom Brady doesn't make any sense because you're talking about he won a Super Bowl at 24. In my mind, we're thinking the best version of this player is who we're having on our field or on our team at this time. The best version of Patrick Mahomes, no one would argue, is better than Tom Brady. The 24-year-old Super Bowl that Tom Brady won, no one's thinking that they won that because of Tom Brady. They won that because of the team. They all ran out together. They all played well. That defense was awesome. Tom Brady managed the game. We have not seen a player. Whether we're not even talking about projection of what Patrick Mahomes can be. Patrick Mahomes right now is the best quarterback we've seen. Most important position.
I'll just say this.
I don't understand how this is even a conversation.
I'll just say this. Belichick coached Lawrence Taylor. He coached Tom Brady, and he beat Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. Let's move on to another topic.
Silly off.
ESPN.com ranked all 32 NFL rosters using the Pro Football Focus database. And the New Orleans Saints had the highest-ranked roster in the NFC, second only to the Ravens in the sport. New Orleans added Emmanuel Sanders to an attack that was, of course, already loaded. You got Breeze, you got Michael Thomas. You don't need me to tell you all the good players that they have. Reigning NFC champion San Francisco is just behind New Orleans. Tampa, Dallas, and Philly round out the top five in the conference. The Bucs are the only roster in the NFL with two top 10 wide receivers in terms of these grades. But those are the top rosters, according to Pro Football Focus, in the NFC. So let me put 60 seconds on the clock for Foxworth and Saturday. You both took AFC teams as having the best roster. So who's number one in the NFC? Jeff Saturday, go.
New Orleans Saints are definitely the best roster on the NFC. I agree with everything you said. You can go through offensive line. They're loaded. Running back, they're really solid with Kamara. You talk about Drew Brees. And that's what I would say would be the difference between the 49ers and the Saints. If you look at Drew Brees and Jimmy Garoppolo, you have more trust in what Brees is going to do late in the game. Will he make that throw? And then obviously you're seeing things about Michael Thomas. This team is loaded. I'm going with the Saints.
Yeah, they took They took the most important possibly weapon that the 49ers had last year was Emmanuel Sanders. When he showed up, that offense went from being okay to being great. So the Saints have added him to their offense and taken him away from the 49ers. I think the Saints are certainly the team to beat. And it's not even necessarily because of all the offensive talent they have. They have a ton of talent on defense. And I know we love the 49ers front four. It's incredibly impressive, but they did lose Buckner, and the Saints front four is just as productive, and especially at the edges, getting pressure on the quarterback. I love that group. And of course, secondary, always most important position or most important position group on the team. And their secondary is strong.
All right, so the Saints right now number one in the NFC. Let's get over to the AFC. Despite a disappointing 6-10 finish last year, the Browns were voted the 11th best roster in the NFL. Third-year quarterback Baker Mayfield has weapons at his disposal that candidly probably any other quarterback in the league would trade theirs for. You got Odell and Landry and Njoku and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. It goes on and on. But the question is, what happened to the quarterback last year? The author of the article, Ben Lindsay, points out that Mayfield's drop-off in 2019 was dramatic. He wrote, his grade on Pro Football Focus of 83.2 as a rookie was better than every first-year quarterback except for Russell Wilson and Dak. That number fell to 73.5 last year, 18th out of 32 qualifying quarterbacks. So let's go on the clock again and ask the question in 60 seconds, which Baker Mayfield are we going to see in 2020? Neek, go.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think that you want to see either. I understand what Pro Football Focus is saying, that his rookie year was really good, but I don't think his rookie year was all that great. He showed peaks and valleys. He had great games and then awful games. What you want from him is consistency. I hope that we see a Baker Mayfield that is more consistent. I think we will see a Baker Mayfield that's more consistent, but I think we made a lot of his rookie season because they had such a bad history there as far as quarterbacks are concerned, and then we saw a young guy who showed potential that we thought he could build off of, and he didn't do it last year. So hopefully he gets more consistent in his coming season, and I think he will.
How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going rookie season. And listen, here's the deal. You made a point last segment about coaching matters. Coaching matters. Four head coaches, four offensive coordinators. There's been no consistency with the Browns and what they've been asked to do. Everybody wants to put it at Baker Mayfield's feet. He has a ton of talent around his football team. He's getting better, I think, with the maturation process. The fancy coming in with that offense. Run the football. Don't depend only on the quarterback. His quarterback numbers will go up, and he'll be the quarterback that everybody saw his first year.
I'm with you. I think the Browns are going to make the playoffs. I've been saying it for weeks. I'll take a quick break, and we'll turn our attention to the NFC East. Cowboys, Eagles, who's the beast of the East? We'll tell you as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your baby to let you sleep in?
What? We could sleep in another half hour? Thanks, sweetheart. And you'll change yourself too?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.
And with that, we approach the top of the hour here. It's soon to be 9 o'clock in the morning Eastern time, about 10 seconds from now. I'm Mike Greenberg. We're in Bristol, Connecticut. It's a Thursday, and delighted that you were with us. We're here for the next 90 minutes when First Take comes your way, starting 10:30 this morning Eastern time, for a full two-hour edition. Our NFL insider, Dan Graziano, joins us for the first time this morning. And, Dan, let's run the hurry up. The Hall of Fame game, Cowboys and Steelers, has been officially canceled. What can you tell us?
Yeah, Greeny, you had to see this one coming. Report dates for training camp are July 28th, about 5 weeks from today. If you're in the Hall of Fame game, as the Cowboys and Steelers were, you report 10 days earlier. Since they don't even have the training camp protocols finalized in terms of health and safety yet, it seemed likely for a while that this game would get canceled. Don't be surprised if more preseason games get canceled and the preseason gets shortened.
And then what's the latest with Jamal Adams in the Jets?
Yeah, the Jets are going to, at this point, they're waiting to see how far he's willing to take it. I think if he doesn't show up for training camp and he's willing to absorb the fines and risk losing an accrued season towards free agency, then the Jets will know that he's serious and maybe start to look at serious trade possibilities. But they don't want to trade him. They'd love to keep him around. At this point, it's about how little he wants to be there.
All right, we'll talk more about him as we go. But Getting back to Patrick Mahomes, we've talked about him a lot already this morning, and his career has gotten off to about as good a start as any in the history of the sport. He's 24 years old. He won the MVP in 2018, was the Super Bowl MVP this past year, and that got our Ryan Clark thinking. I've told you a million times, RC is one of the best follows on Twitter. And last night he tweeted this: has Patrick Mahomes already done enough to be the number one overall draft pick in a redraft of every football player that has ever played the game? And if not him, then who? Leave it to RC to take my job and ask the really intriguing questions. So I put this group together here, and I'm going to put that same question to each of you. Neek, I will start with you. If you were going to start a team with any player in NFL history, who would it be?
Yeah, I think it's easy. Ryan's right. It's Patrick Mahomes. Like, Himbo, the research god, has sent me a bunch of stats that I could roll off my tongue right now, but it doesn't matter. You watch football, you see what this man is capable of, playing the most important position of any major team sports, the most impactful at least. He's the best we've seen do it, and you can't even say it's a fluke because he's done it 2 years in a row. And when he was healthy this past season, he was better than he was his MVP season. So I don't understand how you can make any argument other than going with Patrick Mahomes at this point, especially considering the fact that you already mentioned it. He's 24 years old. Like, technically, he could still be on his parents' insurance, and he's already had two better football seasons than almost any other quarterback that we've seen in the history of football. He could still get better.
Okay, you threw me with that. I liked it very much. So Neek is going Mahomes. Saturday, how about you?
I think Neek is a prisoner of the moment. Listen, Patrick Mahomes is excited. I just said it was the best roster, you argue, because I don't even know what's going on in your head right now. But I'm going Lawrence Taylor. What happened to you? Where did defense ever happen to you? If you're going to stop the best quarterbacks, here's where you go get it. Start with a fellow Tar Heel, Lawrence Taylor. This man flat out got after him. I know he's a little old for you, Neek. I didn't watch much film on this guy, but he could totally change defense and offensive play. Not to mention, when we go to Mahomes, let's not forget that team offensively is loaded. Good offensive line, Andy Reid and being calling plays. You have a ton of good quality players. Kelce, Watkins, you can keep going. Tyreek Hill, so there's so many guys around him. I'm saying if you're starting, I'm starting on defense, that player being Lawrence Taylor.
Neek, why were you raising
your hand?
You're going
to have a short-lived career as a GM of all-time football, because that is the worst draft pick you could ever make. And the reason why we had a conversation earlier, you still don't understand the question. That was about rosters, not about one player. And Patrick Mahomes, it feels to me like you didn't watch the playoffs last year. In the playoffs last year against Houston, they had a 2% win probability in the second quarter. You know what they did? They won against the Titans. 20% in the second quarter. They won because Patrick Mahomes was making ridiculous passes across his body and no look. In the Super Bowl, in the fourth quarter of the Super Bowl against the second best defense of all of football, they had a 4% win probability, and Patrick Mahomes made it happen.
So let me ask you this, Neek. If Jimmy Garoppolo makes the throw in the Super Bowl, are you still having that conversation? Because you're talking about him coming back. If Garoppolo makes the play, they don't win the Super Bowl. All of a sudden, the 49ers, and you're not going to say Patrick Mahomes. Right now, everybody's caught up.
That's where you're wrong.
But at the end of the day, if another quarterback makes the play when he should have made the play, this whole conversation is different. You were excited about TV and what we do with it today.
Neek, quick response. I got to get Graziano in here. All right, in fact, I'll leave it there because you guys, clearly you're on both opposite sides of this thing. Graziano, where do you go?
He's on the wrong side.
I need to know the rules. I need RC to come in and explain the rules. Like, are we talking just projection? Because obviously Mahomes. But if you're talking about guys whose careers have already happened, you don't have to project. Yeah, Patrick Mahomes won the Super Bowl at 24. Tom Brady won the Super Bowl at 24, and he also won it at 41 and four times in between. So, like, you look and say, like, you know what's going to happen there. If you draft Tom Brady at the beginning of his career, you know you're going to win six Super Bowls. You know, Patrick Mahomes, he could win six, he could win 10, he could never win one again. So we don't know. So I need to know what the rules are. Jeff Saturday named my favorite player of all time. It's either Lawrence Taylor or Barry Sanders. So it's hard for me to argue against him. But I have to say, it's going to have to be a quarterback. if you make this draft. My question is, are we doing it based on what we think they're going to be, or when we look back, what we know that they were? And we just need RC to explain the rules of the game before we can really go much further,
yes,
I think.
Yes, because clarity is always so prevalent on Twitter. Okay, let me give you all my response, and it is, I'm ashamed of each and every one of you. I will start with you, Saturday. I mean, how much more intimate can you be with a person than you and Peyton Manning were on a football field, that you are not taking Peyton Manning, who it has all the things he accomplished, all the things he did for your franchise. I would have been sure you would take Peyton Manning. Dominique Foxworth, you played in the defensive secondary. How in the world you wouldn't take someone like Deion Sanders or even Darrell Revis or Dick Night Train Lane? I have no earthly idea. And then Graziano, you got the worst of them all because you took the wrong member of the best dynasty. The reality is, if you're starting a football program with any one person in history, you're starting it with the coach. The coach is the most important person in any football organization. He can take your players and beat his. He can take his players and beat yours. The answer is Bill Belichick. You would take Bill Belichick by a narrow margin over Vince Lombardi if you were starting a football team with any one person in history, and I will defend that to the death. Go.
Who wants to start?
Does Archie's tweet say personal player? What? Read it again.
What's that?
Does it say personal player?
No, we're not reading it. If you're going back to people who are not players, right, then Ozzie Newsome is the best GM in history. That's who you go with. But if you're talking about a player, bringing up Tom Brady doesn't make any sense because you're talking about he won a Super Bowl at 24. In my mind, we're thinking the best version of this player is who we're having on our field or on our team at this time. The best version of Patrick Mahomes, no one would argue, is better than Tom Brady. The 24-year-old Super Bowl that Tom Brady won, no one's thinking that they won that because of Tom Brady. They won that because of the team. They all ran out together. They all played well. That defense was awesome. Tom Brady managed the game. We have not seen a player, whether we're not even talking about projection of what Patrick Mahomes can be. Patrick Mahomes right now is the best quarterback we've seen. Most important position.
I'll just say this.
I don't understand how this is even a conversation.
I'll just say this. Belichick coached Lawrence Taylor. He coached Tom Brady, and he beat Patrick Mahomes in the AFC Championship game. Let's move on to another topic.
Silly off.
ESPN.com ranked all 32 NFL rosters using the Pro Football Focus database. And the New Orleans Saints had the highest ranked roster in the NFC, second only to the Ravens in the sport. New Orleans added Emmanuel Sanders to an attack that was, of course, already loaded. You got Breeze, you got Michael Thomas. You don't need me to tell you all the good players that they have. Reigning NFC champion San Francisco is just behind New Orleans. Tampa, Dallas, and Philly round out the top five in the conference. The Bucs are the only roster in the NFL with two top 10 wide receivers in terms of these grades. But those are the top rosters, according to Pro Football Focus, in the NFC. So let me put 60 seconds on the clock for Foxworth and Saturday. You both took AFC teams as having the best roster. So who's number one in the NFC? Jeff Saturday, go.
New Orleans Saints are definitely the best roster on the NFC. I agree with everything you said. You can go through offensive line. They're loaded. Running back, they're really solid with Kamara. You talk about Drew Brees. And that's what I would say would be the difference between the 49ers and the Saints. If you look at Drew Brees and Jimmy Garoppolo, you have more trust in what Brees is going to do late in the game. Will he make that throw? And then obviously you're seeing things about Michael Thomas. This team is loaded. I'm going with the Saints.
Yeah, they took the most important possibly weapon that the 49ers had last year was Emmanuel Sanders. When he showed up, that offense went from being okay to being great. So the Saints have added him to their offense and taken him away from the 49ers. I think the Saints are certainly the team to beat. And it's not even necessarily because of all the offensive talent they have. They have a ton of talent on defense. And I know we love the 49ers front four. It's incredibly impressive, but they did lose Buckner, and the Saints front four is just as productive, and especially at the edges, getting pressure on the quarterback. I love that group. And of course, secondary, always most important position or most important position group on the team. And their secondary is strong.
All right. So the Saints right now, number one in the NFC. Let's get over to the AFC. Despite a disappointing 6-10 finish last year, the Browns were voted the 11th best roster in the NFL. Third year quarterback Baker Mayfield has weapons at his disposal that candidly probably any other quarterback in the league would trade theirs for. You got Odell and Landry and Njoku and Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt. It goes on and on. But the question is, what happened to the quarterback last year? The author of the article, Ben Lindsay, points out that Mayfield's drop-off in 2019 was dramatic. He wrote his grade on Pro Football Focus of 83.2 as a rookie was better than every first-year quarterback except for Russell Wilson and Dak. That number fell to 73.5 last year, 18th out of 32 qualifying quarterbacks. So let's go on the clock again and ask the question in 60 seconds, which Baker Mayfield are we going to see in 2020? Neek, go.
Yeah, I mean, honestly, I don't think that you want to see either. I understand what Pro Football Focus is saying, that his rookie year was really good, but I don't think his rookie year was all that great. He showed peaks and valleys. He had great games and then awful games. What you want from him is consistency. I hope that we see a Baker Mayfield that is more consistent. I think we will see a Baker Mayfield that's more consistent, but I think we made a lot of his rookie season because they had such a bad history there as far as quarterbacks are concerned, and then we saw a young guy who showed potential that we thought he could build off of, and he didn't do it last year. So hopefully he gets more consistent in his coming season, and I think he will.
How about you, Jeff?
Yeah, I'm going rookie season. And listen, here's the deal. You made a point last segment about coaching matters. Coaching matters. Four head coaches, four offensive coordinators. There's been no consistency with the Browns and what they've been asked to do. Everybody wants to put it at Baker Mayfield's feet. He has a ton of talent around his football team. He's getting better, I think, with the maturation process. The fancy coming in with that offense. Run the football. Don't depend only on the quarterback. His quarterback numbers will go up, and he'll be the quarterback that everybody saw his first year.
I'm with you. I think the Browns are going to make the playoffs. I've been saying it for weeks. I'll take a quick break, and we'll turn our attention to the NFC East. Cowboys, Eagles, who's the beast of the East? We'll tell you as we continue. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Hello, this is your apartment. I need some favors from you. Your cat keeps rubbing against the kitchen island, and I can't return the favor. Can you give her extra pets for me? After that, could you bundle your renters and car insurance with Geico? We could save money, and it's easy to do online. And one last thing. Could you leave the TV on during the day? I need to catch up on my soaps.
Geico. For bundling made easy, go to geico.com today.
We're back on Get Up, and Cowboys running back Zeke Elliott was diagnosed with the coronavirus 11 days ago. Speaking on a Twitch TV feed yesterday, he updated everyone on how he's feeling now and if he thinks the NFL will be able to play in the fall.
I'm feeling good. I would say I had maybe one or two days where I felt symptoms, and even then it wasn't too bad. I had a cough and a little bit of shortness of breath, but now I would say I feel good. I feel normal. I want to let you guys know I do hope that we have a season. But I mean, it just has to be right. It has to. We gotta put the health of the players and the coaches and the support staff first. I mean, I think that's important.
Of course it is. Now, and hoping that there will be a season, we can look at these rankings that we've been doing. And Ezekiel Elliott is part of a loaded Cowboys team that has the best roster in the NFC East, according to Pro Football Focus rankings. The Eagles join the Cowboys in the top 10. Both the Giants and Washington rank among the bottom six in the league. So let's continue having the fun with this here. I got Neek, I got Tim Hasselbeck, and I got Graziano. And Tim, I will start with you. Which team has the better roster in your mind, Dallas or Philly?
Well, I think they're really comparable, Greeny. And, you know, you can certainly look to certain areas and say, oh, look, Dallas is better at running back. They're better at offensive line. You can find those areas. But, look, for me, it's actually the Philadelphia Eagles. You know, you look at them, I think they have the better quarterback. I understand that, you know, that gets kind of heated on this show talking about those quarterbacks. But I do believe they have the better quarterback. I think you look at their wide receiver position, their tight end position. They are absolutely loaded on the defensive line. You know, I think the addition of Darius Slay, when you kind of look at how it impacted, you know, that defense, didn't really show it based on, you know, the number they had attributed to him from his time in Detroit. So I think the Philadelphia Eagles are a really good team. And I think one of the things that I'm having, like, really struggling with on this is, like, Greeny, when you guys were picking, like, hey, all-time team, where you start, you're starting at the coaching position. Like, one of the things that gets left out in all of this is scheme, you know, scheme and coaching and continuity and all of that stuff. And so I would favor Philadelphia.
Dominique, I already know it.
Yeah, I mean, I
know you're not going to like that, so go ahead.
Yeah, I think that he's probably right about scheme and coaching and all that. But when you talk about roster, I've looked at roster this morning in preparation for this. Coaches don't appear on rosters. And I think that the Dallas Cowboys have a better roster. And you're right, Tim. Very close. Like, I wouldn't be upset if I ended up with the Eagles roster. But I think that we're relying on a lot of projection, at least for the Eagles roster to pan out on, as far as playmakers are concerned on the offensive side of the ball. A lot of those rookies are going to need to pan out for that roster to be as good as I think that it will be. And the Cowboys are proven on the offensive side of the ball. They have some work to do on the defensive side of the ball, but I think their issues last year was more about scheme than it was about talent. I think we'll see a lot of those player grades shoot up this coming season when they have a more multiple scheme and something that is more geared to the teams that they're playing against, not just we do what we do, which is what they did last year.
Yeah, and you were correct, Tim, when you said that you stumbled upon what is a hot button issue on this show of the Carson Wentz versus Dak Prescott. So I want to come back to you on that, but quickly, let me get Graziano break the tie here. Eagles or Cowboys, which way do you go?
I'm going with the Cowboys. I don't know if Orlovsky's out there tweeting about this segment yet, but I'm sure it won't be long. I'm going to say Cowboys, especially what they have on offense, I think looks a lot better than what the Eagles have on offense. I do think there are questions on defense. And to the point that both these guys made, you have to respect what Doug Peterson has done the last 2 years in terms of lugging that Eagles team into the playoffs when all appeared lost. So you can't rule that out. But we're talking about rosters. We're talking about players and how it looks on paper. I have to give the edge to the Cowboys.
Okay, fair enough. So I do want to come back, though, to Tim Hasselbeck. I've got, you know, 60 unencumbered seconds here that I would like to give to you because you're right. Between Neek and Dan Orlovsky, the Wentz versus Dak fight here is a big deal. You're coming in sort of unbiased in this. Tell me why you favor Wentz over Dak.
I think he's more physically gifted. I mean, I think that's the number one thing. Now, I can't say that, you know, his, you know, past 4 years have been better than Dak's 4 years necessarily, you know, because Dak has been healthy. He's been a model of consistency and all of that. I just think when the physical ability of Carson Wentz is really unique, you know, more so than Dak Prescott. And so I think that when you look at that and what kind of the ceiling could be, you know, for Carson Wentz, I think he can end up being a better player. So that's why I'm saying that. You know, in terms of decision making, they both make good decisions. In terms of ability to make throws, they all can make most of the throws. But I think that there's just like another level of athleticism, another level, you know, of arm strength, another level of just, you know, like certain things that, you know, that he can do physically that favor him. And so, look, that doesn't always mean it works out that way. Tom Brady is the most physically gifted guy, but that is why he's my favorite at this stage of their career.
He made the argument for me, Greeny. Like, you're right. He's physically gifted. He could be great, but he hasn't had a better 4 years than Dak had. That's fine. I agree with you. Yeah. Tim, you're a smart man.
No, he hasn't
man.
Been healthy, Neek. But if he had been healthy, and listen, that's the key.
You're giving Carson the benefit of the doubt that he has not earned.
Tim?
You're giving him a benefit of doubt that he has not earned, while Dak been out there earning it since day one.
Tim, I'll just say this to you. Welcome to Get Up. This is what happens every day. There's no way to have this conversation without somebody yelling
day.
At you. By the way, we're just starting what will be a full day of sports conversation here on ESPN. First Take follows us 10:30 Eastern this morning, then SportsCenter. You see the rundown, NFL Live, the jump at 4 o'clock hour. You get the three shows in there. SportsCenter comes up with the PTI guys joining them and cap it all off with Scott Van Pelt tonight. Full day of sports coming on ESPN. On the way next, I will tell you why this man has more at stake than any other athlete over the next 3 months. That's next. You're watching Get Up on ESPN.
Did you know Geico's now offering an extra 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies? That's 15% on top of what Geico could already save you. So what are you waiting for? Your teenager to help around the house?
Okay, Mom, I emptied the dishwasher, vacuumed the basement, and folded the sheets out of the dryer.
Wait, what?
Oh, and next, I'm going to clean Mitten's litter box.
Are we in some kind of prank show or something? That's a camera, isn't it?
There's never been a better time to switch to Geico. Save an extra 15% when you switch by October 7th. Limitations apply. Visit geico.com for details.